It's time to get down to business with $30 a month business internet. WOW Business offers 99.9% network reliability so that you can keep your business moving. $30 a month gets you 30 megabytes per second with 24/7 US-based support, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. Lock in our lowest priced offer for the support you need. Go to switchtowellbusiness.com. Offer for new customers with a 2-year agreement subject to change. Prices do not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.
This is an audio version of the 24th Annual Dice Awards Roundtable Series. To watch the video of this episode, please visit youtube.com/officialAIAS.
Brought to you by the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences. This is the award celebration by game makers for game makers, honoring the games that connect players around the globe. No matter where we come from or what our interests, video games bring us together. We gather here to honor our fellow creators and the very best of interactive entertainment. Welcome to the 24th Annual Dice Awards.
Welcome to the 24th Annual Dice Awards conversation with the nominees in the fighting game category of the year. We're going to have a fantastic conversation and talk about hits, takedowns, and finishers, but we'll also have some conversations around possibly some good strategies in fighting games that we'll be able to take home. But we'll definitely be able to talk about some good strategies and fantastic ways you'll be able to make a fighting game in the world of the gaming industry. Let's get into our nominees. First up, coming from EA UFC 4, we have Brian Hayes. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for having me here today. This is a tremendous honor.
Excited to have you here. Give the folks at home a little bit of information about yourself as well.
I am the creative director on the EA Sports UFC franchise. I've been that since EA started making UFC games, and I've been at EA in one capacity or another for almost 20 years now. But like the first sort of fighting games I started working on was the Fight Night 2004 series way back in the day, which is another good old punch people in the face experience. And I've gone through those titles onto some other games in between, and now happily ensconced in the world of mixed martial arts.
Awesome. Super, super excited to have you here. We have from Grand Blue Fantasy Versus, we have Kimura-san. How are you doing, Kimura-san?
Yeah, good.
Can you give the folks at home a little bit of information about what you've done in the industry?
Hi, 最初はゲームのデベロッパーの会社に行って、PS3 のゲームとかのプランナー、として働いてました。
At first, I started working at a developer company, doing some PS3 games as a game planner.
で、その後、それで、サイゲームスを立ち上げて、設立者の一人として、社長じゃないんですけど、立ち上げまして、で、スマートフォンゲームのゲームをいくつかプロデューサーとしてやってます。はい。
And after that, I started up Cygames. I'm not the president, but I am one of the original founders. And I have been working on some games with Cygames since then.
プロデューサーとしては、レイジオブバハムートの日本語版とか、グランブルファンタジーとか、あと何であるんだっけ、あとシャドーバースなどがプロデューサーを今もやっております。
Currently, I am the producer for several games such as Rage of Bahamut, Grand Blue Fantasy, and Shadowverse.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being here with us today. We also have from Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate, we have Ed Boon. How are you doing, Ed?
I'm doing good. And like you said, my name is Ed Boon. I am the creative director at NetherRealm Studios, where we've been making Mortal Kombat games and Injustice games, alternating for the past 10 years now. Before that, I was with Midway Games, where I was part of the original Mortal Kombat design team, the team of four. And now we're about, several hundred. And so I've been along through the fighting games for quite a while now.
Very, very happy to have you here. And rounding out our group from Them's Fighting Herds, we have Amari Smith. How are you doing, Amari?
I am doing awesomely. It's great to be here. I never would have imagined it.
Give the folks at home a little information about your journey into the industry as well.
Oh, I'm definitely a newcomer to the industry as a whole. This is my first project. Well, technically my first project. It was originally a fan game about 10 years ago, but it got a little too big and too front and center. So as it got shut down, lots of things kind of came together in a miracle fashion, which resulted in the current game. I originally joined the team as an animator, but it turned out in the end, I simply played more fighting games than pretty much everyone else. So I had a lot of ideas coming to the table rapid fire, and it kind of worked out this way. It's been a lot of fun.
I love it. That's awesome. Super, super excited to have you all here and to be talking about the games that you've made in the space. The first question that I want to talk to you all about is, you know, in each of your games, you need to have a very special knowledge to the development of it. Do you feel like that specialty can kind of be created, or is it kind of better to kind of have the team first and then build a game around those talents and interests? I'm curious to hear that from you first, Brian. I'd love to hear your thoughts about, you know, are you kind of looking at that as like, we have a bunch of folks who are already interested in this kind of thing, so bring them to the forefront, or, you know, let's figure out ways to kind of bridge that out and bring the concept to them first.
I mean, I think in a perfect world, we would be able to put together a team of, you know, hundreds of people with previous professional experience in mixed martial arts, and they would be able to bring their insights and experiences to bear, you know, on Ed's side of the, I'm not sure if he'd want to have a team full of people that have like brutally murdered people coming together to work on things. But, you know, ideally, you know, you love to have certainly people on the team that have firsthand experience. And we do on EA Sports UFC have several members of the team that either train regularly in jiu-jitsu or have competed at a somewhat high level in kickboxing. And then we also partner with, we have actually people come before everything got shut down. We had fighters come in to actually train members of the team that were interested in learning about kickboxing or Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Professional fighters come in and show the team the ropes. But for the most part, when you're looking at all the different roles and talent needed to deliver a quality video game, the first thing you look for is that talent and experience in the video game creation. And if they don't know how to beat somebody up, then, you know, maybe you can get to that in a career development plan, I guess.
And I'm curious to hear your thoughts. And maybe I'll flip that a little bit in terms of broadening that question out. You know, what are some of the kind of very special talents that you're looking to have kind of come to the forefront when you're building a game like Mortal Kombat Ultimate?
Well, you know, the as Brian was saying, you know, there, you obviously need to have people who know how to fight, martial arts fighting and all that. That's a different kind of talent. It's like, you know, motion capture actors and that kind of brings authenticity to the movement of the characters on the screen. But then after that, there is, you know, 15, 20 different disciplines that have to have experts in them. You know, the people who animate, you know, those characters are the people who create the 3D models, the music, the composers, the sound effects, the, you know, just, you know, in our case, you know, the people who put together our story. So we have directors, people who write the script, and it's like, you know, there's all these categories. It's quite a production that, you know, for the most part, we need almost every specialty in video games to make our, you know, our game with two characters on the screen fighting. You know, it's quite a production.
For sure. Kimura-san, I'd love to hear your thoughts about, you know, what kind of special talents are needed to make a game like Granblue come to life. For you and your team as well.
そうですね。まあ、アークシステムワークさんと共同で開発しているんですけども、まず一つはグランブルファンタジーが好きなことが非常に大事かなと思っていて、でキャラを、まあ、非常によく知り尽くしていて、それに対しての魅力をどう 見せるかっていうのは非常に大事で、でアークさんはもうすごいグランブルファンタジーのその原作の方をすごいやり込んでますね。
So Arc System Works has been a great partner as our developer, and we really value the original Grand Blue Fantasy game, which is a smartphone game. So we wanted to implement the good points from Grand Blue Fantasy, such as the well-developed characters, and really show highlight their unique traits and what the fans like about the original game. And Arc System Works has done a great job in implementing that into Versus.
And one more. もう一個あって、まあグランブルファンタジー原作は結構アニメタッチというか 2D のイラストのゲームなので、その 2D のまあものがちょっと立体的になりつつも生きているように見せるっていう技術が非常に大事だと思います。
And our original game had a lot of two-dimensional illustrations. That was our the main selling point for our original game, but for Versus, we wanted to make them 3D and really look like they're moving and alive.
Thank you for sharing that answer with us. I'm curious as well, one of the biggest, you know, main components of the fighting game genre is making sure balance is paramount, trying to make sure that you have, you know, balance across the roster that you've built, and also kind of building in the conversation around how you want characters to play off each other and how you want those battles to kind of not necessarily play out, but giving everyone a chance to win based on the characters that they've wind up picking. Omari, as a person who's kind of started, you know, this journey, you know, with Herds, what was the conversation like for you all as a team to kind of build in balance for a game that when you kind of look at it initially, you're like, all right, there's some horses on screen that are going to fight. How do we figure out strategies and ways to make sure that everyone feels good in terms of balance in a game like that?
Oh, balance as a concept is a constant struggle. It's not one that's really one that you'll ever reach the end of the road on. But the journey there has been really interesting. There are a lot of things that you can give a character that'll make them shine, which is like usually what you'd want to use to attract a player to that character, something that makes them really, really strong, that they do better than other characters. And with that, you immediately start the sort of domino effect of this character is really good at this thing, this character is really good at this other thing, and you have to kind of interplay the sort of counterplay between them. And just like any other kind of fighting game, farm animal or not, you're gonna want to make sure that these aspects of these really strong portions of a character continue shining throughout development, and you know, remains super bright and flashy and cool for players to enjoy.
I love that answer.
I would second that also. Is the, you know, it is a constant struggle to reach balance that you never reach. You know, Yes. You're just trying to get as close as possible as you can, but inevitably, at some point, there will be a tier list for your characters.
Yeah.
I'm also really curious about that for a game like UFC, where balance is even a different animal within that game, because you're thinking about it from a perspective of these one-to-one analogs of what people think of when they have their favorite fighter that you're going to wind up using. How does that kind of work in terms of, you know, building out, you know, statistics that go along with these fighters that feel like, you know, you're not ramping someone up super, super high and keeping other folks a little bit lower?
Yeah, it's a challenge that's a little bit unique to our fighting game experience, because we're based on real characters in the world. And so the game is not built on the principle that everyone should be different but totally equal. There are some fighters in the UFC that are not as good as other fighters in the UFC, and so we try and represent that. So because if we were to equalize everybody, we would be hearing it from the fans of the game as well, that this player, you know, this fighter is too strong. I don't imagine, Amari, although if you did have fans that were, you know, screaming at you about like alpacas are not that, you know, strong in real life, they can never take on a county. You know, that's the kind of thing that we have to deal with. But we definitely want to, with a roster as big as it is, make sure that every fighter there available for you, you know, is at least a worthy fighter for you to take in, especially if you're a talented fighter, a talented skilled player. You have the ability to potentially say, you know, I'm so good, I can use one of the mid tier guys and maybe take out somebody using one of the very best fighters in the game. So that's kind of cool as well. But it's a huge challenge, and with so many fighters in the UFC roster, it's crazy.
I'm sure just like we've seen in many sports games, I'm sure you've probably gotten that call randomly from someone in the league that's like, hey man, my stats are too low, you gotta figure this out. Like, hey, did you ever get one of those things from, like, you know, Colin McGregor was like, hey, I should be 99 on everything, why am I not 99 on everything?
We did a really smart thing this time around where we've decided to work with Daniel Cormier, like the former heavyweight champ, and he's our official ratings adjuster. So when the ratings go out, if a fighter has a problem, I just say, go talk to DC. Because that's a different thing. Like, you know, if I was working on FIFA and a soccer player complained to me about their ratings, I'd be like, ah, whatever. But like, if, you know, Francis Ngannou, monster of a heavyweight, is angry at me for his ratings, then I'm staying inside and locking my door. So
I love that. Kimura-san, I'd love to hear, you know, you couldn't consult with the fighters exactly for the game that you had prior, or the previous game. But knowing how fighting game fans and the Grand Blue Fantasy fans are very, very invested in the game, you know, what were some of the most important parts of the game to get absolutely right for the audience?
そうですね。まずキャラクターの魅力を存分に引き出すことが大事だと思っていて、格闘ゲームは特定の、キャラクターを長い時間操作するので、一人一人のキャラクターにスポットが当たりやすく、キャラクターの魅力を引き出すフォーマットとして最適な、ジャンルです。で一方、グランブルファンタジーの人気を支える要素としても欠かせないのが個性豊かなキャラクターで、登場キャラクターが原作のグランブルファンタジーで持つキャラクター性やアビリティという要素を格闘ゲームとして楽しめる見栄えがするアクションとして落とし込むことが本作において非常に重要なポイントでした。
We focused on highlighting the unique traits of each character. In fighting games, it's not unusual to use one specific character for a long time. So, in a sense, fighting games is the perfect genre for highlighting the individuality of every single character and putting each one of them in the spotlight. The unique characters are also one of the things that made the original Grand Blue Fantasy game so successful. So applying the engaging action available in fighting games to the existing characteristics and various skills of the characters in our original game was definitely one of the main points we focused on.
You also added some new features like the skill button and the two ways to block. You know, what was the team's goal in introducing new features like this?
はい、ですね、展開の速さやボタン操作の複雑さを抑えて、シンプルで奥深いゲーム性を実現することが目的でした。本作はグランブルファンタジーのスピンオフであることを一番の土台としてまして、グランブルファンタジーはスマートフォンタイトルですが、それを遊ぶユーザーの多くはゲーム好きであるものの、近年は家庭用ゲームを触っていないとか、ゲーム機を持っていないという方が多く存在します。そういった方々が久しぶりに、あるいは初めて格闘ゲームを遊ぶことを想像したとき、展開の速さやボタン操作の複雑さを抑えるべきと考えました。またそういったシンプルなゲーム性は、近年の格闘ゲームにおいて、高速化や複雑化が進む傾向が強い中で、読み合いの楽しさという格闘ゲームの原点に立ち返れるものとして、格闘ゲームのファンにも喜んでいただける要素になると考えていました。
We tried to pace out the build-up and minimize the complexity of the controls in order to keep this game simple, yet still dimensional and with substance. The game was produced as a spin-off of the original Grand Blue Fantasy, which is a smartphone game. So while many players of Grand Blue Fantasy, of course, love gaming, they may not necessarily be familiar with consumer games or own many of the recent consoles. So we kept these players in mind and wanted to make something that wouldn't be too stressful or complicated for those who are new or maybe returning to fighting games. Many recent fighting games are fairly quick-paced and intricate, but by maintaining the aspect of simplicity in Grand Blue Fantasy Versus, we focused on bringing out the fun of reading each other's moves and just going back to the basics of what makes fighting games so enjoyable for all players.
I love that answer. That's fantastic. Ed, I'm curious to know, you have so many amazing Mortal Kombat titles under your belt. You know, how do you kind of continue to push the envelope? It's I'm sure that, you know, I especially am like, how do they top what they just did in Ultimate in terms of moves and fatalities and all these kinds of gruesome moves? You know, do you ever worry that you're going to kind of like run out of really cool new ways to do this kind of work and surprise fans and keep them up to date?
Well, as far as, you know, the first part of your question, you know, we're not afraid to kind of reboot or reinvent our fighting mechanics or make dramatic changes to it. You know, we really feel like each game is its own chapter. It should feel like we don't want it to play exactly like the previous game, because I think eventually when you've made as many sequels as we have, I think boredom would set in. It'll just be a prettier version of the last game. So we really, it's a bit risky because sometimes something people really liked in the last game, we change around. But at the end of the day, I think if we're introducing something new with every iteration, it'll remain interesting. And as far as the fatalities, that's never been a problem. You know, we have, you know, 200 people in our studio, and everybody has an idea, and we do a casting call in a sense for ideas for super moves, fatalities, you know, friendship moves. And there's a big meeting and everybody just pitches their idea. The one that gets the best response goes into production.
Is that response something where people are like, oh, that was a great way to dismember somebody? Or was that like, oh my God, what did you just think of? kind of
response. It's usually like, no, we can't do that. And those are the ones that we do.
I love that. Brian, I'm kind of curious as well. You know, you're dealing in a game that is based around a very realistic, you know, setting, right? The MMA is all about the fighters and all about keeping that authenticity there. You know, how do you kind of ensure that you're capturing that brutal intensity and precision that you have in MMA, but you're also, you know, working with the fighters as well? I'd love to know, like, what's the kind of, you know, conversations that you're having with fighters and how you're keeping those connections strong, and how is it to actually, you know, have the folks that you're modeling be a part of the experience in making the game?
Those are always some of the most rewarding sort of interactions we get to have. Now, you know, again, with the roster the size of the UFC and with as busy as those guys are, when they're training for a fight, we don't always get an opportunity to spend like days and weeks with all the best fighters in the world. But we do have a bunch of professional mixed martial artists that regularly do mocap for us, and they've all been in a cage several times and have had, you know, a variety of experiences that they are, you know, there's a real sort of back and forth with our animation directors, our gameplay designers, when they go into mocap and get on set and start talking about, okay, like, here's what we're shooting today. These are the moves we're going through. And there's actually a real back and forth between the fighters and the designers, animators, to talk about, like, well, actually, here's a different way you could do that. Here's a different way you could escape from that position, et cetera. And it's a real iterative, collaborative process that they go through with the fighters, which is really cool. And I think it's one of the reasons why the gameplay remains as authentic and shines the way that it does. That's, as I said, we can't count on everybody in our studio, on our team, being just all legitimate mixed martial arts killers. So we work with external contractors to get that the real hands-on insight, so to speak.
I'm sure that that's a very interesting conversation in your phone role. You're like, I need people who can beat up other people. Let me call these folks really quickly.
Well, I was just thinking with Ed talking about the fatalities sort of role or casting call. I just also think about, like, if somebody was working that at home and, like, you know, their significant other just happens to find the sketches and, like, honey, what is this? Like, it's for work. Okay? So.
It's for work. It's for work. Omari, I'm curious, because you kind of mentioned this earlier. You know, Herd started off as a fan game, right? It kind of started off in the community as a foundation. What was the kind of, you know, the change that went from that fan base game to Herds? What was the, you know, what was the kind of switch that happened there that made that be the way it kind of maneuvered? And also, you know, what were some of the games that you feel like you've been inspired by as well within the fighting game space?
Well, with the fan project, we were, of course, really huge fans of the show. And because of the way that we built the game, we were making sure we were as accurate to the characters as possible. Because that's one thing that I like about the fighting game genre is it's a cast of characters. The characters are what the players get attached to. So we made sure that the characters are fighting the way they would if they were to fight in the show. And because of that, the person who created the show is the one who came to us after we were shut down and joined our team to help design these new characters. And that's kind of how those things started. So the transition was actually way smoother than anyone could have ever imagined. We're making a whole new world from scratch, but we had already amassed a team of creators who cared a lot about character and focused really hard on making sure that the kinds of attacks the character uses is in character, their color, their shape language, all that stuff. Just every little aspect of a character that would make them distinct from each other is just stuff that we hard focus. And just how we got here.
I love that because I think that the conversation around shape language is really important too, and how that builds into, you know, familiarity with the characters in that way. Really quick before we move over to giving away the award, I'm curious to know, what was the first reaction when you pitched it to folks, Laurie?
When we pitched the game idea?
Yeah.
Well, when we initially started the project, of course, nobody really believed in it, but then since we were serious about making a fighting game, and I was on the team really pushing to make sure we made it as serious as possible with the most non-serious looking characters, we put up a YouTube video, woke up the next day, and there were thousands of views just immediately. So the reaction to this game pitch, which we pitched essentially to the world because we posted a YouTube video, it was mind-blowing. And that's what has carried us through the past couple years, is just knowing that we're making something that we think is fun, and we know that someone out there thinks that idea is both ridiculous and fun to them as well. So we will be making at least one other person happy, and that's what I do this for.
I love that. That's fantastic. I'm so happy to hear that was a part of the journey to getting Herds out into the world. It's time to give away our Dice Award for Fighting Game of the Year. Our winner for Fighting Game of the Year is Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate. Congratulations, Ed. Congrats.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. You know, I couldn't be more excited about this year's palette of fighting games that are out there. You know, I mean, like Omari said, you know, we have one end of the spectrum is farm animals fighting, and then we have the Mortal Kombat, and then we have the most realistic, and then the grand blue fantasy. Such a cool story of it, you know, coming from a mobile game and becoming a really solid fighter in its own right is, like I said, just these palette of games. It's just really great to be in, you know, included with this group. So I congratulate everybody who worked on the whole palette of games. It's been great. Great year.
Yeah. And again, thank you all for being here. One of the things I love the most about the fighting game genre is you can find something for everyone to kind of dig into in real ways and you know, get your fight on and get that competitive juices flowing. So thank you so much for all being here, Brian Kimura-san. Ed and Omari, thank you so much for being here with us, and we'll see you all soon.